We are talking about rope, all right? What does rope stand for? Right. Right. Right of passage experiences, okay? We all have these in our lives, and we really think it's extremely important. And so we've been handing out these little ropes like this. And if you don't have one, or if you forgot yours and you need something to play with while I talk, because for a lot of us it helps us listen, there's a whole big bunch of them. In fact, maybe Peter or Callie or somebody will walk around and just grab three that maybe are different, and you can start your own little rope collection. And as a reminder of you, I keep mine in my pocket all the time, and it's been really helpful to me. Rope, what is rope? Rope is about how we grow, and it's how we are church. Okay? It's a way of understanding how we grow and how we are church. And just to let you know, church isn't something we go to. Church is something that we are. And that is what it's trying to capture. You are Jacob's well. Jacob's well is made by us weaving our lives together with God. So that was what it's all about. In your Sunday paper, you also got this. It's a little rope review card. So if you weren't here in the first week when we really talked about how this all works and what's behind it all, this will kind of catch you up. And it's also kind of in, version 1.0, so we'd like feedback and say, you know, I read this, Greg, and I didn't understand anything. And let us know. We'd be helpful, and we can try to redo this, because this is something we would like to continue to work with in the months and the years to come. So basically what we've been talking about up to this point is about weaving or braiding the three strands of our ropes of God and of self and of others, okay, together. And then putting knots in that rope at times, kind of like I said with Theo's baptism, when we experience some sort of noticeable blip in our life experience. And you notice when I say life experience, I don't say faith experience, because, you know, we don't really trust the distinction between the two. If your faith is different than your life, I think you've got a problem. You know, so I think we need to see it together, see our faith and our life all in one piece. So when we have those noticeable blips in our life journeys, we stop, we notice them, we name them, we mark them, and then we remember them with some sort of rite. That is, that means you acknowledge that it happened, and you do it by getting some other people together and throwing a party or having a baptism or making a video that's going to be shown on a Sunday morning or with H2O or writing a poem or a song or making a sculpture and gathering some people that are close to you and understand about the kind of stuff that's going on in your life and sharing that with them. This is where the sticking point comes on rope for most people. I mean, this idea that our lives are ropes where we are weaving God, self, and others together, people are like, yeah, no problem, I got that. And that sometimes we have these notable experiences within that weaving process where we tie a knot and say, this was a biggie. People say, yeah, I can handle that. That makes sense to me. But where we get stuck is when we say, what? I can't just note that by myself? You want me to do something? And I have to do it with others? Really? That's what I want to talk about today. Here's the situation. Here's where we are. And we've got all these ropes hanging here. And the truth is that our world is not made up of 7 billion ropes. No, we do not have 7 billion ropes. We have really 7 billion people weaving ropes that are all getting interwoven. Because what's the situation, right? So I have my rope, and I bring God into it and start to weave it, but then I also bring others, all right? And so I start weaving this, but you as an other, you also have your others, which might be me, and you start weaving that in, and then one of the others that they had also gets in there, and you can just kind of see how it all, you know, it started out like such a nice and tidy thing, like my rope. I've got just me, self, and others here, and it looks all kind of nice. I can put it in my pocket, carry it around. You know, don't you wish life was like that? It isn't. It's a mess. It's a tangle. It looks more like dreadlocks than my hair, you know? At least I got hair. But, Mike. ooh. So this is kind of what it's all about. We are not 7 billion ropes. We are one enormous fabric that God is putting together and that we are putting together. And all this, you know, nice clean thing of three strands making this nice neat braid isn't what it looks like. And you might say to me, Greg, that is a mess. And I'm going to say, yes, it is. We call it the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is a mess, at least to our eyes. You know, and on the seventh day of creation in Genesis chapter 1, God looks at all the things that God had made and said, oh my me, this is a mess. Here, you human beings, you take it. I'm going to go take a nap. All right, that's not quite what Genesis chapter 1 says. But I think you get the point, all right? And the fact is always that we are weaving and we cannot help but weave and be woven into something that is bigger than us and something that is always out of control. I understand the urge that we all have to try to keep it tidier, to try to keep it neat, to try to keep it manageable, but to do so comes at great cost to you and to our world that needs something much greater than you could ever weave together, that you could ever just put in your pocket. This is just a reminder of the small piece that you are a part of something much bigger as you are weaving and being woven. Which is all to the point that I hope you have heard from me and from us here at Jacob's Well many times. So at the risk of repeating myself too much, this is one of the things that I just really hope you get, is that, and this is a fill-in on your outline, is that your faith is private. Or yes, I can say this right. Your faith is personal. I know your faith is personal. But your faith is not meant to be kept private. It is not meant to be kept private. It is something that we all have together. Paul, that man who had a class 5 tornado of a rope experience brought into his life by God, was taking this good news to the rest of the world, and he told them, he's telling us today, if you remember last week, we were talking about growth matters, okay? He starts out by saying, and you heard these words, we must grow up in every way. All right, we got to grow, we got to change. Things are not going to stay the same as they were yesterday. We must grow up in every way into him who is ahead, into Christ. And then he goes on to say, which is what we want to be wrestling with today, the whole body joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This isn't a my thing, faith. Life is not a my life. Sure, you are a distinct individual. Yes, you have your experiences. Yes, you do weave your rope, but your rope gets so tangled and pulled and woven into this huge fabric that you are part of. And that is how the whole body grows up to be healthy, to be whole, to know what love actually is. Maybe that seems crazy, but here's the deal. And I don't think we need the Bible to tell us this. We know it already. But the Bible goes to quite a bit of effort to let us know that if we are going to go through life, we're going to do it together or we're not going to do it at all. There's no options other than doing life together. Unless you think that is just, you know, this vision of the body of Christ is just something for those inner workings of God, not what a normal everyday person who does normal everyday stuff like you does or is supposed to do or called to do. I'm sorry, because that body that Paul mentions, the one that is healthy and growing and built up when everything gets connected and pulled together and intertwined, well, that body is no other than, Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians, now you can, on your outline, circle that word you. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. It isn't about someone else. It isn't about really religious people. It's about everyone. And the thing about that word everyone is it includes you. All right? We don't have exceptions for ourselves. And it isn't because it's something we have to do. It's because this is how life works. This is how God is involved with this. This is how the world has been put together. I want you to see a quick video of a member of our community who maybe had some of these realizations.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ann Chris, and you may recently have been here at Mile 16 on the West River Parkway during the Twin Cities Marathon, where I was lucky enough to get to run and raise some money for World Vision through the support of the Jacob's Well team. This was my 7th marathon, but in the last couple years I've really hated running, and I was kind of not looking forward to this race. However, I decided to do it anyway because I got roped in by a real persuasive speech by our Team World Vision leader, Brad Hoffbauer, and decided that maybe my motivation would come from running for someone else's benefit, not just my own. So I did that. And it wasn't for a long time that I even told anybody that I was running the marathon because I didn't want to embarrass myself because I was undertrained and really hadn't committed mentally to doing that long distance. But by the time, a few weeks before the race, I decided, yeah, I could probably pull it off, and so I decided to do that. So you all were gathered here at mile 16 that day, and I started the race with everyone else at 8 o'clock. And by the time I got to mile 15, I was getting kind of tired, and that long, long, long mile leading up to 16 was probably one of the hardest that I have done in a long time. But I wasn't really prepared for what happened when I came around the corner and saw all of you with your crazy costumes and bells and whistles and cheering, and it was one of the most supporting and uplifting moments that I've experienced really in a long time. And I came away from this mile just, pretty sobbing pretty hard and really, really emotional and feeling really great about the 10 miles that were ahead of me. So I'm supported by you and buoyed up by that cheering and that love and that support. The really great thing about it was that I am not a person who likes to ask for help, and so I didn't in this race, and I tried to do a lot of those miles by myself. And I got here to where you all were, and it's just like the definition of grace that I learned about when I was a kid growing up in the church, is that comes to us even though we don't ask for it, we don't deserve it. And you gave me that grace that day. I had one friend, a random running friend, that showed up along about that same time and ran the final 11 miles of the race with me. And I honestly think if it weren't for the support of all of you and of her, that I don't think I would have finished that day. I would have been happy to get on the bus that was picking up the stragglers at the end. I wrote a big Facebook post out about it afterwards, called "People, You Need Your People." And absolutely, I need to know that and be reminded of that every day, because it's true. From people who sent me text messages, to showed up on the course, different places, my friend who ran with me, and those who just kind of cheered me on and mostly held me up in prayer. It was really crucial and important and vital to the success of that day. So, people, you need your people. It's true. It's not just for races.
Yeah, it applies a lot more than to running races, running marathons. You know, Anne had such a big aha that day. And this is her rope experience, right? I mean, that it happened was a metaphor for her. It helped her see something that is just true in her life, that she just doesn't turn to other people. She doesn't let other people be in her life the way she needs to. And she had another 10 miles to think about that, to notice it and to name it. And then she marked it by doing this Facebook post. And then by, making this video, frankly, for us as a community, was a way of her marking it and sharing it with other people, which is really powerful for her to do. And I think powerful for us to hear it. And then having that phrase, "People, you need your people," has been her way of remembering it. And she says, "I have had so many conversations around that line since that marathon. It continues to be at work in me, and I know it's continuing to be at work in other people." And her rope experience, oddly enough, was about the need for rope. About the fact that we aren't just strands floating out in the universe, but we are ropes woven of God and self and others, and that we are intertwined into a fabric which is much greater than ourselves. So here's what's more about this, and that's this next point, and it's on your outline. You are weaving a rope, okay? Each one of us is weaving a rope, but you are being woven into a tapestry. That's right. That messy tangle of ropes and strands and dreadlocks that I was talking about, the reason that it looks that way to you, that it looks so messy and so hard to understand, and do I really have to do that? I'm not the kind of person who likes to, share so much about myself and be involved with other people all the time. It's kind of hard for me. The reason it looks so messy and so, why do I have to bother with this, is that you have this occupational hazard of being a human being, and you just can't see enough. You don't see at one point in time what is going on, the bigger perspective of it. It's kind of like the Milky Way. If you look out on a beautiful night you aren't going to quite see it this clearly, but you know, just see lots and lots of stars and say, it's really pretty, but it's just kind of a mess because we're in the middle of it and we don't see what's going on. But if you could get out of our galaxy and go off in space and look at us, you would see this. Say, oh, I'm actually like not just in a mess, I'm actually part of something beautiful, something strong, something great, something lasting. And I have to play my part to be a part of it, or it wouldn't be there anymore. Maybe you know the saying of Jesus. It's mentioned quite often. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Now, often we mean that as saying, even if there's just two people or three people, that's okay. God bothers to show up. It's worth God's trouble. But what if it isn't what Jesus was getting at all? What if it was really a commentary on our inclination and our tendency to have our faith be personal and private? And God is saying, no. I mean, I'm there. You want to go on your wilderness trek? You want to just meet me one-on-one in your own prayer, in your own time, your thoughts? Yeah, I'm there. But do you really want to see the bigger picture of me? Do you really want to see the body of Christ at work? Do you really want to understand what I am doing in your life and how I am using you and what you are being woven to? Then get together with at least two or three. Let the body of Christ begin to be assembled and see what all the different parts that are coming to you and becoming a part of your life and your world together, because that is how you will really discover me among you. This is how church happens. The body of Christ, being together in a way that acknowledges, that reflects, that reproduces, that waits on God, it is so much more when we do it together. And yes, it is a mess. I mean, just look at Jacob's well. Yes, it pulls us out of our comfort zones. Yes, it asks us to do things that we wouldn't prefer. But it isn't because God wants to irritate us. Isn't God, because God just wants to push us out of our comfort zones, because God likes pushing people out of our comfort zones. It's because God wants us to be part of something bigger than ourselves, bigger than we can see from our own perspective, but not from God's, better than we could ever imagine. That's what being church can be all about. You've heard it said many times. I actually heard it said just 2 days ago. I'm not part of a church, but I'm a good person and I do good things. You know what that is called in the body? It's called cancer. It's a fine cell, just another cell, actually shares the DNA of all the other cells that it's around it. But for some reason, it doesn't participate in the purpose, the larger unified purpose of the body. And so it does its own thing. And cancer cells aren't malicious. They don't normally attack. They just do their own thing to the point where they start crowding out what the body was trying to do, and so that the body gradually can't operate anymore. It can't go on with it. I'm looking at how the world works, how we work, how we are created to live dynamically in community. And I'll go out on the limb and say this. I love good people. I hope I'm a good people. I hope you're good people. But that's not what it's all about. Why does God want you woven into community? Why does God want you woven into the body of Christ, into the church? It's because of this. God is less interested in how good of a person you are than in how connected and engaged in the body of Christ you are. God is less interested in how good of a person you are than how connected and engaged into the body of Christ you are. Why? I want you to listen to this. Put down your pencils, cup of coffee, just hear these words. If you hear nothing else today, I want you to know this. The reason God is more interested in that is because God is not interested in measuring you. God is interested in loving you. And because you are not created to be perfect, you are created to be connected. Because none of us can be perfect. We can be connected. And that is how God is able to love us and to make our lives matter in ways that are beyond what we will ever be able to pull out of our own sleeves. That's why God created you as part of the body of Christ. That is why God wants you to be part of the church. Now, I have to say right away that going to church doesn't accomplish this, okay? It isn't a matter of membership in the sense of having your name on the rolls of some religious institution and showing up. but of membership like your hand is a member of your body, or your kidneys are members of your body. They are part of and connected to and working in. They are being themselves, of course. Your hand doesn't do what your heart does. Your kidneys don't try to do what your ear is supposed to do. But they all do what they individually do for a common purpose that is beyond themselves. The continued health of the body, and therefore the continued health of each and every one of those pieces of your body at the same time. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. That's the personal but not private part of your faith. Your life experience, your faith experience is deeply, it is deeply personal. It is unique. No one will ever comprehend and experience and understand it the way you do. I realize it can be difficult to express it. It can be difficult to even try to think about it and to risk putting it out into someone else's life. It's hard to imagine someone else knowing about and being aware of your messy and vulnerable parts of yourself. But that's how bodies work. If what you are doing and learning and stumbling over and hoping for isn't part of the conversation that we are all a part of as a body, as the people of God, then we are missing something important. And you are missing both the power of sharing what it is that God is doing in your life, and you are missing the input that you receive from other people because they hear your story. And they are missing the strength of your story and the ability to share back to you. Okay, maybe that analogy of cancer was a little strong, right? But I think it got your attention. Perhaps, you know, people just say, you know, I can be a good person. I don't really need to be part of any community. Maybe they're more just like a benign cyst or hangnails or bunions. I don't know. But, you know, the point is you can't look deeply into the face of another person and not see God. And you can't look deeply into the face of God and not see other people. Your life is a weaving of the strands of self and God and others. And those strands, those ropes, are so tightly woven into fabric that you can never see all of it at any given moment. That is a real truth. Okay, I want to try something that I broke the cardinal rule of preachers is that I didn't try this ahead of time. All right? So I could use excuses I'm living by faith, but there's a difference between faith and stupidity. So I may be on the stupidity side, but we're going to try it. So I need like 20 people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Boy, don't we have any kids? Okay, what did I say? 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. First three rows. Can you all come up here? Make a circle. Got to be kind of close. Shoulder to shoulder. All right. Facing in. So I just think for it's kind of important to understand that this. So these are the people that are my others in my world that I can't do anything about. Yeah, just keep. We need a complete circle. Is this going to work? You guys, you're all skeptical as I am. So you are my people, all right? So I'm going to give that. You're one of the people that encouraged me when I wasn't thinking I could do anything. You're one of the people that listened to me at a time. Yeah, my daughter, actually. that listened to me even though you really didn't want to. You're another person that encouraged me. You are a person told me something that happened in your life once, and you didn't know I was paying attention, but I was. You're a person who did the same thing, and you didn't even know I was listening, but I heard about it, and I saw it in you, and it changed everything for me. You encouraged me when I was down. You, help me here, guys, I'm running out of ideas. You were there when I needed someone. You listened when no one else was willing to listen. You married me. So need I say more? You just been a friend and have been there whenever I needed it. You gave me advice at a time when I needed to. You listened to me and heard some of what I said and actually told someone else about it. And you raked my yard this afternoon at 2. And you painted my house. I'm liking this theme now. So you've been a significant person that has been there, and I have heard, and oh no, I'm running short, but you can share, and all right, so So here, I'm going to sneak this behind you. Okay. So kind of lower it down. Lower it all the way down, down, down. And yeah. All right. It worked well enough. Good enough. Thank you. Okay, you can go back to your seats. Thank you very much. It did work. You know, having a couple friends is good. They wouldn't have been able to get me off the ground. Having a lot of people, I mean, for reasons I didn't even know I ever needed them. I had no idea how we were woven into each other's life, but that's how it all works together. And I think there's something different about people that are just there for you. I mean, we've all got friends, and friends, you know, like being a good person, that's a good thing. I hope we all have lots of friends. But we need friends that sort of understand this thing about weaving a rope together. I think realizing that we're reaching for something that is beyond ourselves, that we're willing to risk, that we're willing to reach for something, really willing to believe that we don't see the whole world right now, but we need to tie into others and to God through others in order to begin to take those risks and to venture into where we need to go. I think that's some important stuff for life. So try to do that. You know, you're going to find on the bottom of your Sunday paper a homework question, which I invite you to spend 10 minutes during the week writing about your own reflections. And if you're in group life, do it before you go to group life this week. It'll really kind of help, I think, some of your discussions go. But that question is simply this. When did people gather around you in an unexpected way or time that really had an impact on you, or when you wish they had, but it wasn't there for you? Okay, last. This. Being the body of Christ doesn't happen without communication. Doesn't happen without communication. We actually have to say things. We have to express stuff. We can't just keep it private, okay? You know, when I listen to reports, I listen to NPR a lot. When I listen to reports about medical breakthroughs and medical research and stuff, one of the things that I really hear that I think is different than the last maybe 10, 20 years than before, is that one of the things that researchers are spending a lot of time doing is seeing how our body communicates with itself. Different organs are giving messages and so on, letting, kind of turning on transmitters or producers of enzymes or hormones or who knows what, regulating our body. But I think for a long time, you know, science was just working so hard at trying to figure out what happens that they just kind of just saw all the different organs and systems in our body as their own things, and they produce something. And it kind of was out there. And now we're realizing that that's true, but it's actually incredibly dynamic and interplay, and our body is talking to itself in a constant conversation in order for us to be healthy and to be balanced. It's like before our understanding was that, well, you know, the body does all these things, and as long as all the different parts of our body just keep doing their thing and they'll keep rolling down the road together, it all works. And no, it isn't like that. It's much more subtle, much more complicated, and much more dynamic with all the communication going on in the body. I don't think the body of Christ is too much different than that. You know, our bodies are actually constantly sharing messages and information in intricate, vital ways in order to be healthy and in order to grow. What makes us think that the body of Christ doesn't have to be that way? No, if we all just kind of do our own thing, our own little Jesus thing out in the world, everything's going to be cool, right? I mean, you're going to know how to grow. I'm going to know how to grow. You're going to know who to support, how to support, what to do. Communication. We actually need to share our stories. We need to let others hear what, like I said, when I share my story, it really benefits other people. It helps the body of Christ continue to move forward, but it also helps me grow. There's no way I can probably grow more than by sharing what I have learned. And other people benefit from that, and then they share back, and I give them the benefit of telling their story, plus I hear it and I grow. Jesus, again, in Matthew, you are the light of the world. We heard this with Theo when he was baptized this morning. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The fill-in there is both the teller and the hearer grow when we share our stories. Both the hearer and the teller grow when we share our stories. There's all kinds of reasons why we don't like to do that, all right? I think it's good to call some of out. 30 to 50% of us would call ourselves introverts. I don't know why my hand is up. I am not one of them, as you may have noticed. So you say, I just don't do it. I'm not wired that way. But the truth is, introverts aren't shy people. Shy people are people that just aren't quite sure whether they're going to be accepted for who they are. Introverts are people who process things more internally. They find their energy more in the space away from people than with other people. But the fact is that when you put introverts, and you know this, if you would classify yourself as an introvert, if you put introverts together with other people that they know and are known by and trust, they behave just like extroverts, right? The point is, being an introvert doesn't change what you do. It just changes how you do it, all right? I don't want to say this is how it all has to happen. You have to sit down with 10 people and tell your life story, No, find the way you do it. Find the people you trust. Take the time to develop those relationships and share and grow and listen and create that wonderful broth of living, wonderful stuff, that tapestry that is so beautiful and so strong. Another thing we say is, I'm too busy to form those kinds of relationships and take the time to mark things that way. Really? Really? Are you too busy to do that, or are you too busy to afford not doing it? That'd be my question. And we all have the same amount of time every day. It's all a decision of how we do it. And there's probably nothing more despairing in human life to know that you have spent years and years and years pushing yourself down the wrong track. How do you know you're on the right track? By being woven into this rope and fabric of God and self and others. Take the time to do it. Find the time. Make the time. Then the last maybe kind of the catch-all is, I just don't do things like that, Okay, I'm sorry. Growing is hard. Do you want me to start naming all the things that we don't want to do but that are really good for us? Okay, we'd be here all day long. I'm sorry you don't do things that way, that you don't like that. This is good for you. Find the way that works. Find your unique way of participating in the body, how you communicate who those people are in your life, and make those. Here at Jacob's Well, our main way of accomplishing that is group life. We think it's a great way, and there are lots of groups, and you can figure out your way of being in it, but it isn't the only way of doing it. That's just something that we offer to try to help you on this. But find people that you can, weave and be woven in with. So maybe that's why Paul, 2,000 years ago, made such a big point of telling people that there was a tapestry, so intricate, so strong, so beautiful, that they couldn't yet realize that they were being made into it and that they're being shared with it. And so he shared that with them and he shared it with us today. And I'll repeat those words again. Paul writes, speaking, notice that? Not insinuating, not assuming, but speaking the truth in love. We must grow up in every way. Got to change. We got to take risks. And to him who is ahead, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. People, you need your people, right? You really do. You don't even know why most of the time. You need your people. And you are one of the people that those other people need, okay? And all those people, they need you, and you are one of their people, and it's a big, tangly, ratty mess. We call it the kingdom of God, and it is how we are church. You see all these ropes here that I was messing with a little bit earlier on in my message here. We're going to keep these up here, probably kind of like for good, or at least until you help us find a better way of doing it. They'll be a little bit more off on the side. But I invite you, when things are happening in your life, good stuff, whatever stuff, you're learning stuff, ahas, breakthroughs, turnarounds, whatever, come on in and take a couple and start weaving them together. And if there was a real rope experience where you tied a knot, take that you've been weaving and put a knot in it and leave it up here. It's just a way, maybe a trigger of helping us be aware and think of our lives in terms of these rope experiences and letting them out, be there. And then maybe, put a note on your communication card and say, hey, something happened in my life that I'd like to talk to somebody about. Let's pray. God, thank you for, just thank you. Thank you for doing stuff that we don't want most of the time because we don't want enough. You tell us that your power is at work within us to accomplish abundantly far more than we could ever ask or imagine. I think I can ask and imagine a lot, and you're telling me that you can give me more. I want to be a part of that, and I know it's going to be hard. I know it's going to take me kicking and screaming at times. One of the things that I love, though, God, is that you're going to do it in not only those wonderful joy signs, but you're also going to be there making it happen in the toughest times of my life. There are those of us here that are gathered because of the toughest times of our lives right now. I think of Jay and Diane down in the ICU in Rochester right now. I think of some of the wonderful times with children, of grandchildren, and baptisms, and job losses, and new lives, and new friends. Be with us in all this. Help us to weave our ropes and to put nice, strong knots to help us keep it all together. In your name we pray. Amen.